Hello and welcome to another episode of the Leo Alves podcast. And in today's podcast episode, it's been a while since I've had a guest on, so I've been meaning to get one on for you for a little while now. And I thought, you know what, let me get a fellow friend of mine, Miguel Mendez, another online coach as well, slash personal trainer. And I met him at an event. It was called IFS last summer, last August 2022. And ever since then, we've just stayed in contact. And I'm happy I've met him because he's the only other person who does the same as me, so what I also do in Portugal. So that's what we had in common, and that's why we, I guess, a big reason as to why we clicked pretty much straight away. But anyway, I'm not going to say too much. I'll let him introduce himself, what he does, where he's from, and then we'll go from there. Over to you, Mia.
Thank you, number one. That was an awesome intro, and I think that's the only thing we have in common, man. It's the fact that we're both doing the same thing in Portugal, and that's the end of the story. And no, I'm just kidding. It was really cool meeting you at that IFS. But a quick, you know, intro about me. I'm not even sure, but I think we're kind of the same age. We do work in the same, you know, as a PT nutrition coach. In terms of background, not to go in, you know, too many nitty gritty details, but I've been doing the whole fitness or training for the past 10 years, mostly started with bodybuilding. That was my big first love. I used to be a gym bro. And, you know, all the popular fitness and diet mistakes, I probably made them all. I used to just eat clean foods and freak out about bad foods. I used to binge with cheat meals, you name it. And then over time, I started to go a bit more into the evidence-based side of things. I started seeing a bit more of the light. I'm just kidding. There are both sides. It's a spectrum. And that made me want to pursue a job in the fitness industry. And then I went to London to study a master's degree in sport and exercise nutrition. That's kind of when I started my coaching as well, back in 2019, like at least officially. And then, you know, the rest is history. I've been working as a coach for the past, that makes it worth three, almost 4 years. Yeah. And we met at the IFS recently, and that was pretty cool. And now here we are to discuss all matters of gains. And I think I'll cut it there.
And you are born and raised in Lisbon, aren't you?
Yeah, 100%.
And you said you started with being interested in bodybuilding. Is that something like, is that still, would you say, your main thing when it comes to fitness, or have you like maybe stayed away from that a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say it depends. Like in my heart, I'm still a bro, and I love the bodybuilding culture, and I still really identify with a lot of the things there. But at the same time, I've learned to steer away, or at least I found my balance in terms of training and nutrition, because I used to be one of those guys, you know, you got to go big or go home. And that meant training 6 times a week. And even on the off day, I'd do some cardio, making sure that I was only eating quote unquote clean foods. And this led to a bit of an unhealthy relationship with my diet. And also, even though I love training and I was really happy to go to the gym 6 times a week, sometimes I felt like I had to do that in order to make progress, when in reality, it's not necessary. And if you get trapped into the whole, I need to do this or I'm unhappy, that's kind of when, you know, things are a bit tricky. It's a slippery slope. And that's one of the things that the evidence-based side helped me realize, is that you don't need to go all in all the time to achieve, you know, fantastic results. And that's one of the things I work a lot with my clients nowadays, is setting up realistic expectations from the get-go and just talking about, you know, what you can achieve without necessarily having to go from, you know, a person with responsibilities, but they still want to improve their health and their physique. They don't have to go from no times or zero times to the gym to going 6 times or 7 times a week. Some people come to me and they're like, do I need to train every single day and do cardio after my workout and only eat rice and chicken broccoli? It's like, no, but I've been there myself, not with the whole rice, chicken, broccoli. Thankfully, that was never a thing. But the mindset, the mindset is big. So in a way, yeah, still a bodybuilder, a Brody builder, but also I think I found a bit more balance with the experience.
Okay, so so I was going to ask you what do you think made you or opened your eyes to that? Would you, but I guess you said it was the experience. Was there anything else where you were just like, oh, like maybe I don't need to be doing all of this, like that yeah, this actually
Yeah,
could maybe make sense.
for sure. That's a great question. Actually, it's kind of ironic because what made me take a step back and reevaluate everything I was doing was basically I had a nasty injury. So basically, again, going back to the whole mindset of go big or go home, you got to do what you got to do, no excuses. There was a time when I was saving money to go to London. I started working at Starbucks and I was working maybe 10 to 12 hour shifts, just standing a lot. So a lot of, daily steps and energy expenditure went up, let's just put it that way. And at the same time, I was still training 6 times a week and trying to get in some cardio.
Oh,
Because
wow.
I really thought so number one, I love training, and number two, I thought I had to do that to keep making the gains. So I was happy to, let's say, work a 10-hour shift and then rush to the gym, even if I slept 5 to 6 hours, sometimes less, or if I didn't have, more than 3 meals that day. Because even with meal prep at the time, they only gave us about, I don't even know, because I'm talking about Starbucks. So let's just say it's not Starbucks, it's another coffee company. But in this specific company, I only had like 30 minutes to eat, like my lunch break. And you can meal prep all you want, but if you only have 30 minutes to eat, there's only so many calories you can eat in that window. So what happened in a nutshell was I took my body a bit to the limit. I started getting some aches and pains here and there. I didn't really give a fuck, pardon my French. And I just thought, keep going because this is what you got to do. And eventually that small pain evolved into a full-blown sciatica. And at the time I was 23, I think, and I couldn't even stand without pain. It was really painful just to stand, let alone work. So that was the first time, I think, in 6 or 7 years that I had to stop training. And it made me take a step back. While I was taking a step back, I had a lot more free time, so I did a lot of research, as in watch a lot of YouTube videos and read a lot of articles online. And that's actually one of the things that made me want to pursue the master's degree, because I started to, uncover this whole new world of you don't need to do 30 plus sets per muscle group per week to get good results. You don't need to eat a clean diet all the time. It's not that I was stuck in this mindset, but at the same time, it was all I knew. So moving into, uncharted waters, let's put it that way, it was all new to me, and I was afraid of doing something different and losing my gains in the process. But at the same time, doing something was better than nothing because I was injured and I couldn't really do much. So I guess that was the breaking point.
Yeah, that's it's very interesting you say all of that, because I feel like a lot of my story in my earlier days was is very similar to that. It's not the exact same, there's a few differences, but it's very similar enough, and I find that quite interesting. And yeah, it was for example, in my experience, where what happened was, yeah, I was just forced to take a step back for a little while. Look into and I just researched things quite in within that time. I was doing it a bit beforehand anyway, but within that time I went even harder, just because obviously I had more free time on my hand. That's where I realized I really liked it. And but you know what, I would say one thing that really made me realize that, you know what, I was like, I need to actually chill with the way I'm approaching my all my just my fitness is I would even say the community. I actually went from a bit of a different, like, surrounding myself with one type of people, to I started shifting towards another. And I wouldn't say so much in real life because obviously in real life I lived in an area and I couldn't really help who I was surrounding myself with when it came to being at the gym because you know you've got your the people who always go to that gym are nearly always going to go, but I would say more so the people I was following on social media and interacting with on social media, and I found that I was like, you know what, these people are actually way too intense for me now I think about it. I'm not even interested in going to that level. And then I found like other sorts of communities and people who, you know, still cared about their health and still done very good and impressive things, but were actually a lot smarter with it. And that's where I was like, okay, you know what? Community is very important because I started getting involved with them. And yeah, and I found a brilliant community there. And it was just obviously, it helped a lot to help me get to where I want to be. And I'm sure you can relate on that part, maybe.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Yeah. And you know, this actually brings up a point that I was speaking about on my story yesterday. Do you have, by any chance, do you have your phone next to you?
Yes, sir.
Go on my profile quickly, and this is going to make sense. Bear with me. So go on my profile quickly, and I don't know if you saw my story, but I saved it as a highlight, and I'm gonna put, and I think the highlight is saved as, so if you're listening to this and you can't, like, when you can, go on my Instagram and look at the highlight, and I think it's like the highlight is called gym equals supportive or something like gym equals something, and it's like the first highlight on my Instagram page, and I was actually can you see it? And I was gonna say, like, quickly flip through it. I don't expect, like, it's not that long, to be fair. And you don't really have to listen to the part about of me speaking at the end because that does take like 30 seconds. But yeah, I think you'll get the good gist just from even flicking through it. Do you see that? And I know the listener right now has no context, but if you look at that Instagram highlight, then you're going to know exactly what I'm speaking about. So I would encourage you to do that. And or the conversation we're about to have right now. Don't you think that's so interesting? And I guess, you know, I'm going to quickly, just in case maybe this person is driving or the listener, basically there's a, I was on Facebook. I don't even like to use Facebook anymore. I feel like it's definitely for a different generation. But you know, when you're running a business, sometimes you don't have much choice. So anyway, I was on Facebook and I just happened to see a post from, I think it was the newspaper, The Telegraph. And they post a, so one of their writers, I think, had like some sort of transformation photo. He writes about his transformation, how he found it, and he puts his progress picture there. And in the comment section, and the post didn't even have like that much info, but the comment section was full of negativity. I would say 98 of the comments were negative, 98%. Just from flicking through it, everyone was accusing him of X, Y, and Z, saying this isn't good. I preferred the old one, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, what the hell? Like, why does it matter? Like, this is crazy to me. And then I go on a gym page and I don't even have to search hard. It was literally the first transformation that came up. I click on it and everyone's like, yeah, you go. Like, that's amazing. Like, it was, to me, it was just so crazy, the contrast in the positivity. And I find it so ironic because most people are scared. A lot of people have gym intimidation because they're scared to go to the gym, because they feel like people are going to judge them. Whereas what I find, and I know I'm speaking quite a lot here, but I feel like gyms are some of the most welcoming places in the world and probably the best place to, you know, a lot more often than, it's like one of the best places to just become a better person. And you are more, very often going to find a very supportive community there, which again, it's like I said, it's very ironic because most people don't want to go to the gym because they feel like they're going to be judged. Whereas those comments tell a completely different story, and it's a story that I was already aware of. And you can see like just the difference in the way people, gym goers are speaking to other gym goers compared to non-gym goers are speaking to the other non-gym goers.
Yeah. Man, that's a tough topic. Like we could go on for hours, but there are a few key points here. So number one, I definitely agree with you that gyms are probably one of the places where you'll find a lot of welcoming communities and people that are actually eager to help. I remember when I first started, I was so anxious about not knowing what to do. Not knowing proper form, worried that people would judge me, and just that I was gonna make a fool out of myself. And I had these big ass gym bros, like proper looking back, they were probably on PEDs, but they helped me build my foundation. Like they were the ones that approached me because they noticed I was learning, and they gave me some helpful tips that really set me on the right track. And that's something that I also try to do nowadays when I see someone new to the gym, just try and teach them the ropes. However, about the comments and the negativity on social media, number one, it's social media and people think that hiding behind the screen gives them the right to just, be a keyboard warrior or troll, and they can say whatever because they're not talking to another human being. They're just kind of either projecting their feelings or just, spreading, I'm not going to say spreading hate, but they're not thinking about what they're actually saying and that another human being is going to read that information. And number two, I think, in terms of, and this is again just my personal opinion, I think nowadays it's kind of tough because if you say something, you offend a group of people. And if you say another thing, trying to please that same group of people, you're going to offend another group. It's like if you say, man, I sure do love apples, then people are going to say, why the fuck are you not saying you love oranges? What's wrong with oranges? It's like nothing. I just like apples. And the same way with fitness. Like some people, they love bodybuilding. Some people love cardio. It doesn't mean that the bodybuilders need to, or maybe I should use another example, like CrossFit and bodybuilding. There's a lot of memes going on, like, oh, if you do CrossFit, that's not cool. And then CrossFitters are like, oh, but bodybuilding's not functional. You guys just care about big muscles. You don't even know what you're doing. At the end of the day, sure, I love a good meme, man. That I do, but it doesn't have to be one or the other. And I think sometimes people speak because they don't know any better, or they are perhaps a bit jealous, because if you see someone go from, let's say, an average physique to an impressive physique, people will often say, steroids. They don't even consider that the other person actually put in the work, they were consistent, and they made an effort to achieve those results. It's almost like it's discarded. And, coupled with that, there's almost this feeling of, he did it. I probably have tried and have not succeeded in the past. Therefore, instead of celebrating the other person's, win, it's easier to say, your hard work, it probably was, you had help, or it's not impressive because I preferred how you looked before. It's almost like sometimes you do so, again, fitness is all about improving your health, improving the way you feel, how you move. It's an investment in yourself, probably the best investment you can make in yourself in terms of return on investment for many years to come. So it's a personal journey. Like if you want to be a bit leaner, that's fine. I can have my opinion of what my ideal physique looks like, but that doesn't mean it gives me the right to say your physique is good or bad. And sometimes I feel like people get way too offended on social media, Not that there's not some bad examples out there, but at the end of the day, I'm gonna sound corny, but why can't we kind of get along?
No, it's you said a lot of good things there, and one thing, obviously, I agree with pretty much everything you've said. I would say one part that came to mind for myself before you started speaking, and is something that you even touched upon, was just the fact that they're projecting their own feelings, and I feel like that is a prime example of it, because I even say it on that story. I feel like the reason why most people are so negative towards that person when it comes to the non-gym page is because I feel like a lot of people are just commenting out of guilt. It's just more so that they feel guilty that I feel like they're maybe not pursuing their health and fitness. And then when they see something like that, they're kind of faced with it. So it's the and just putting someone else down is, and I'm sure the listener can relate to this, where they know someone in their life like this, putting someone else down is just easier to do than change your own habits. So you're obviously going to go for the easier one. So you're just going to put someone else down, hoping that they kind of join you. So yeah, that's pretty much what it is. And it's like I said, I know someone, or I've known people like that, and I'm sure the listener can relate when they say they where they know someone like that as well, where someone who's just very negative and does talk down on them when they are just trying to implement healthier habits.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of interesting that, the norm is most people don't go to the gym or don't, do any type of exercise. Most people probably don't care that much about their sleep quality, or at least if they do, it's not to the point of, okay, I'm gonna make sleep a priority. Most people probably don't eat enough protein and vegetables, the things we're always preaching about. So when they see someone that's going out of their way to actually improve these habits, like let's say you're trying to lose fat or lose a bit of weight, so you start meal prepping and you take your meal prep to work. It's because, again, you're outside of the norm. Most people will be like, oh, but why are you doing that? And don't you want to enjoy yourself or eat foods that are tasty? And it's almost like there's this idea, I'm not sure where it came from, that if you're trying to improve your health, it's almost like that's unhealthy or a weird obsession, right? And I find it's quite the opposite. Like, if, and I see this with my clients all the time, I see it with myself. If you take care of your nutrition, if you take care of your sleep quality or recovery, if all the big rocks are taken care of, so if your foundation is solid, then you have more energy to be with your family and friends. You can actually use your body to do stuff you want to do. Like, let's say you have to pick up something, helping a friend move, whatever. You actually can move or help them move without having any back pain or issues. That whole story of, because I remember when I was 17, people told me, wait until you're 25 or wait until you're close to your 30s and you'll start feeling aches and pains. I know, like, I'm 27, I'm still very young, but so far so good. And I know friends of mine that have been lifting for 15 to 20 years and they're on their 30s and 40s, they also are way better than the average person on their 30s or 40s that complains, oh, once you get to my age, you'll feel that your body starts going to shit. So I like the idea of going against the current and seeing what, at least for myself, what I'm able to do with my body. Like, if I can be an old man that's still kicking ass and not having to rely on, someone else to do basic stuff, that's a big win. And to do that, I know I need to take care of my nutrition. I need to be consistent with it. And that's kind of the, basic things you try and teach people. So that's a long answer just to say, I don't understand why when you're trying to improve yourself, it's almost frowned upon, like you're trying to be different and that's bad, like you're the alien when you're just kind of trying to escape the matrix.
And what you said about people, I think when they get to their 40s, their 50s, they start saying, oh, just wait till you get to this age, you're going to feel loads of aches and pains. So when it, and you're speaking about in the context of resistance training specifically, that reminded me straight away of people say the same thing about their metabolism. And that's not actually true as well, because I remember there was a study that came out. I think it was last year, or at the, or it was either last year or towards the end of 2021, that actually showed that metabolism actually only slows down. You might know, I can't remember if it was 50s or 60s. It might have been 60s.
I think it was 60s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are, might be listening to this right now and just thinking that is bullshit. Like, I know for a fact as I've gotten older, my metabolism has slowed down. But this is where. And but this is, and I'm not denying that maybe you are having maybe a tougher time to maybe, let's say, maintain your weight or lose weight compared to your younger version of yourself. But I think this is what a lot of people don't realize is that maybe as they've gotten older, they're actually moving around a lot less than compared to when they were younger, and maybe sleep quality might have declined. There's a lot of factors that come into it that they're overlooking, and whereas and they just more or like accept it as an age thing. Whereas again, it's like they don't think about the other factors. Maybe now they're eating a lot more because now they're earning more money, which means they can eat out more and they're eating more. And it's like I said, maybe they're less active. Whereas when they were younger and they were at university, they used to partake in team sports, and now they're not doing that anymore. They have a 9 to 5 job where they're on their feet or sat down for, I should say, for the majority of the day. So these are all things that they're just overlooking and quick, and then just straight away associating it with age. Oh, okay, I'm in my 30s now, there's nothing I can do, it's just an age thing and I'm done. And yeah, that's just not the case.
Yeah, 100%. You reminded me of the whole I'm not sure if most listeners will relate to this, but I'm sure you will. Whenever a new study comes out and people are dissecting it, usually one of the things that a lot of people say is association does not mean causation. So in this case, as you get older, you associate the idea that I am getting older and I'm having a harder time maintaining my weight. Therefore, age is kind of what's fucking me up. It's ruining my metabolism. And it again, that was a good study that showed it's not exactly the case. And I think you made some really good points. One of them, just this is a really quick side story, but I remember there was this friend of mine. We started training together when we were 17, and then we had this long conversation when we were, I think it was last year. So we're 26, that's almost 10 years later. And he was just telling me, like, hey, Miguel, how do you stay so fit like almost a decade after? Because you're not a teenager anymore. Your metabolism has probably slowed down, but you're still maintaining progress. I realize that this sounds like a humble brag. That's not the point of the story. What I remember is how he was actually really serious and somewhat concerned, asking me, like, how do you do it? Because he was telling me, I feel like I've been gaining weight simply because I'm getting older. But the fact is, he stopped training. So he used to train with me. He stopped training because of work. He got a desk job. So he sits all day every day. His meals, like you said, he's earning more money. So most of his meals are either pre-prepared. And I don't mean homemade, as in like either he gets Uber Eats or he just buys those frozen pre-cooked, not the best meals, because there are some good frozen meals. And all of this combined, so less exercise, more accessibility to food, and less daily energy expenditure in the form of walking or whatever it might be, just daily tasks. All of that can definitely contribute to a bit of weight gain. But it's funny or interesting that his first association, and he strongly believed this, was that it was simply due to the natural aging process. So yeah, that's a quick side story, but you nailed it on the head.
That is, it's true though. And to be honest, it's not, this is something I very often see. And when I've mentioned that study here and there, where it's made sense to within the conversation to some people, and a lot of people just I think it's like the first thing that comes to mind for a lot of people is, no, that is just bullshit. That can't be true. Like that, everyone has been saying this for years. So like I think it's just a generally accepted thing. But yeah, it's to be honest, I'm not surprised that that's the case, that your metabolism only slows down in your 60s. I actually expected that to be the case, because, and I actually, it does make a lot more sense to associate it with the lifestyle factors that we did speak about. And you know what? When you mentioned correlation doesn't equal causation, another thing came to mind for me actually, which is actually on a quick side topic as well, like a side note, I remember. There is actually a strong correlation with, and this is just a random fact, it's not fitness related, ice areas where there's ice cream sales and areas where mass murders happen. But obviously,
Damn.
yeah, and there's a strong correlation between the two. But obviously, it's not because ice cream is being sold there that people are getting murdered. It's just a coincidence. So yeah, but yeah, that was something that came to mind straight away, and it's just a very easy way to disprove a lot of, the correlation equals causation thing automatically. And there was a few other funny ones that I heard. I can't remember them now. But yeah, there's another one that actually does it very, just a lot of people I don't think about, and they look at it from face value, and then they don't actually question it, which was, and I feel like this is dying down a little bit nowadays, especially with the rise of carnivore. But it was if you're vegan, I think it was vegan specifically, I don't know about vegetarian, but you are going to be healthier if you follow a vegan diet. You are going to be healthier than if you eat meat. And there's just now, what I want to say before I go into this is I'm not against being vegan. Like I think vegan is amazing, especially from an ethical perspective. But to say it's like superior or maybe even or even healthier than eating meat, that's I would say is incorrect. Because and I think a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of these studies that are done when they compare vegans to meat eaters, and then they find that vegans tend to be healthier on average, and maybe they have like better blood pressure, they maybe have a lower resting heart rate, and they have all these other health markers that are in a better place. Is that a lot of people don't account for is that your average vegan is very health conscious. Whereas your average meat eater doesn't give a shit about their health. They probably smoke. They probably, have beer in like as part of their breakfast. Like, they don't give a damn, your average meat eater. And whereas, your average vegan is going to be very health conscious. And I think that's not something a lot of people think about. And so, yeah, that's just something that that's always come to mind. Well, that was coming to mind a lot when I think maybe it was around 2018, 2019, maybe even 2020, when that was becoming like a very popular topic.
Yeah, especially with the game changers. I'm not sure if you're.
Oh man, I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah,
Like, essentially, I hated that. That was terrible. That was
I'm not gonna
terrible.
talk about that, but I remember.
Like, I'm sure. Did you have as many? I had too many people coming to me and saying, "Oh, but the game changers said this, this, this," and I was just like, "Man, the guy that made that documentary, he made another one, like even before that. There
I
was
didn't
another
know.
one called What the Health.
Okay.
Do you know that documentary?
No.
Oh, you don't? Oh, it was as bad, and it was as popular. I think the Game Changers just got more maybe coverage because it came out later, when social media was even more prevalent. So that's why it got more maybe just put given more of a platform. But yeah, What the Health was also as terrible. And in What the Health, it's the same guy, by the way, who was in charge of both who was in charge of both documentaries and filmed it. And in that first one, so What the Health still stands by this today, by the way. He says that eating an egg is bad, is as bad as smoking, I can't remember if it's three or four cigarettes.
Oh, okay, so that's where it comes from.
That's
I've
where it comes from. That's
seen
where that
Instagram posts about that, yeah.
yes, that's where it comes from that documentary. So it's the same guy. So if you want to believe a guy that says, eating one egg is as bad as smoking as four or five cigarettes, and then you want to, take the game changers as gospel, that's up to you. But the tread lightly there. To
Yeah.
that to the listener, that is, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, man, you know, this is a good segue to something that I've noticed, just from working in the industry and as a nutritionist, is that nutrition at the end of the day is a science. Like, we don't necessarily make recommendations based on what we feel like. You know, we look at the data and then we're like, okay, this makes sense, this doesn't make a lot of sense. However, most people, everyone eats, everyone was raised a certain way, eating a certain way. Some people had good results with a certain diet, and it's very easy to become like attached, emotionally attached to a certain way of eating, or in this case, a particular diet like the carnivore, vegan, whatever it might be. And then when you have someone, suggesting a different alternative, which again might be totally viable because nutrition at the end of the day is very individual, like context dependent. These people will get mad and they will tell you don't know what you're talking about because this has worked for them. So it's almost like they're disregarding all the data based on how they feel and what worked for them as an individual. And you see a lot of, especially younger coaches or not as experienced coaches, where they'll put their clients, all of their clients doing the same exact program as they're doing. So it's like if they do bodybuilding, every client's going to do bodybuilding. If they do 30 sets of chest, every client does 30 sets of chest. And it's kind of like going back to the whole carnivore and vegan, like the average person could definitely improve their diet by adding more plants. Like there's no question about that. However, I've also seen, especially during the game changers, a lot of people go either vegetarian or vegan without having a clue of how to set up their diet, and they lost a ton of weight. They actually got unhealthier in the process.
And
Yeah.
visibly as well.
Yeah, their health suffered, their energy suffered. I had many conversations with different people, some of them my clients, saying, "Yeah, I transitioned to vegan or vegetarian because, plants are better for you." And I lost a ton of weight. I don't feel so good. Even my sleep quality has suffered a bit. And I'm like, okay, do you have any idea of how many calories you're eating per day, or just, how much protein you're getting? And, most of them didn't really know. But more importantly, they didn't even know where they should be getting their protein from, or why protein is important, or the importance of fueling your body adequately. And I had this guy, like he was actually one of my first vegan clients. It was really interesting. The guy was almost 2 meters tall, which I don't know if your audience is in feet or centimeters, but
It's
he
okay.
was
They've
a
got access to Google.
really tall dude. And his girlfriend at the time was the opposite. She was very short. However, she was the one cooking for both of them, and they would have the exact same portions. So this guy was again almost, I think, 190 something, and he was weighing 66 kg. He was really thin. And one of the first things we did was, hey, let's just track macros to see where you're at. And basically, calories were way, way low. Protein wasn't great. But he was just eating plants, which in theory, if you're following a fully plant-based diet, then it's healthy, right? In this case, it wasn't, and it was really hurting him in terms of overall health. So one of the things we did was just, bump up the calories quite a bit, actually. And as soon as he started regaining some of the weight he lost when he transitioned, he started feeling much better, energy feeling better, regained a lot of lost muscle, sleep quality improved. And that's just one example. Like another example that really shocked me was when you have people that eat meat, sure, but then they go vegan or vegetarian, and you're like, okay, so what's lunch? And it's like French
Chips.
fries, yeah, chips,
I've seen that a
and
lot, and I'm just like, how? I don't even want to. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yeah,
that's
that's just,
cool, yeah.
yeah, it's a lot. It's like you've just to do this properly, to become a vegan and do it in a healthy manner, you need to know what you're doing, and you need to at least research this a bit, because just living on chips, it's gonna it's just not that's gonna mess you up in the long term.
Yeah, and it's so that's one of the things I noticed. A lot of people
Same.
like going for chips and calling it a meal, which is not how things work. But and I saw this a lot when I was living in London, was vegan fast food, but because it's branded as vegan,
Vegan, yeah.
yeah, it's like it's healthy for you, even if it's like
And double the price now because they've added vegan. They were vegan. Now they can charge double.
But I remember, I'm not sure if you're
And it's the
familiar
same
with this.
rubbish.
Yeah, it was an event, man. I can't remember the name. But I think it was called Vegan Nights, something like that. And all the food served was vegan, but the menu was like vegan pizza, vegan burgers, vegan sushi, vegan hot dogs. So all the usual fast food you're used to, but with a plant-based alternative. But same sauces, and then don't even get me started on putting coconut oil on everything and calling it healthy. And at the end of the day, I thought, a lot of people here, they're probably eating this thinking it's healthier because it's vegan, but nutritionally speaking, it's definitely not a healthier choice to
Especially if you're consistently eating it, and then yeah, if it's something that's consistently being eaten, to put it bluntly, it's crap, and it's something I've seen a lot as well. I have seen it, obviously, yeah, like there are just cases where I have seen it, and I just think, how is this okay? But you know what? Actually, was there anything else you wanted to say before I bring up another point?
No, go for it. I think I've shared my thoughts
No,
on
you
this.
made some good points though. This is exactly why you're on the podcast, bro. Like, yeah. So what I wanted to say was that whenever something to do with anything, like nutrition approach, the only things that really come to mind now is like nutrition or politics or yeah, just anything. There is always going to be like eventually, if someone or like if that group, like, okay, because we're speaking about vegan, we'll say we're going to use the example of veganism here. If vegan keeps getting pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed again, this can go for anything in the world, it doesn't just have to be within the subject of nutrition. There's always going to be like an opposing that's going to eventually arise, something that like completely contradicts it. And in this case, I've seen like the rise of carnivore has been huge recently. I would say very, pretty much last year. I would say vegan vegetarians like the 2018s, 2017s, 2019s, carnivore maybe 2022. That's where it really started to take off. And I'll be honest, I think carnivore, I think it's just dumb. But I do see a lot of people who, like you said, they say, oh, they're on carnival, and they're just like, yeah, man, like I feel the best I've ever felt. You know, I've been carnival for a while now. I feel like and yeah, it's just like I feel amazing. And then, you know, if anyone comes to them, you know, with like maybe, okay, maybe that is your experience. But you know, the facts are maybe that maybe this, and this, like it's probably not the ideal approach long term, especially. And then they get super defensive because it's like, yeah, it worked for me. So you don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And when you really think about it, like we're going to speak, okay, to speak specifically about carnival, more, a lot, I can guarantee that this is what's the case, that this is what's happening. When it comes to someone who's gone carnival for a little while and they say they feel the best they've ever felt, it's most likely because they were living on shit before and they were only eating crap food, most of which was just like high in sugar, salt, and fat. And then they've suddenly cut all of that out and they probably weren't eating that much protein. And now, so they've cut out all this, like, just all this junk food, and now they've started getting like a good, maybe at least a decent protein intake for once in their life. That's where the positive effects are coming from. But I think that's only going to maybe be felt as more in a maybe more in a short-term time frame. I think if they do it long enough, then they'll probably start to realize there's a maybe a downside to it
Yeah,
is going to come.
for sure. You know, the carnivore, I think there's a lot of studies being made on it right now. I'm not sure, but there's new data coming out. However, with the carnivore diet, I think number one, what you said about people cutting the shit and eating more protein, that's you know, pretty much what happens. And of course, you're going to see some short-term positive changes. But then the whole thing that we should also consider is the placebo effect is real, and it plays a big role as well. So there's almost this community around the carnivore diet, you know, the whole being tribal and eating like your ancestors. And you know, I'm not even going to talk about Liver King, but that was a big influence as well. And when people feel like it's kind of similar to the same mindset I had when I started bodybuilding. When you have this mindset of I have to do this, this is what works, and I am willing to do whatever it takes, you know, of course you're going to see changes. Even if they're not happening, again, you might believe they're happening and you might feel better, because at the end of the day, you're cutting out the shit. Placebo is definitely a thing. If you're part of a community, you have that positive reinforcement of other people saying, "Yeah, way to go. You're killing it. You're crushing it." All of that's going to contribute to you feeling like you're feeling great. But some of the things, like one of the big issues with the carnivore diet, and this might be controversial, is a high saturated fat intake, which has definitely been linked to cardiovascular disease. So it might not even be in the short term, you might not have issues, but long term, especially you know, let's say long term carnivores, they might have some issues in the future. And I know some people will probably say, "Hey, but saturated fats aren't bad. That's all bullshit." And I know that, you know, right now there's a lot of back and forth. Some people say you should avoid red meat. Others will say red meat is what's good for you. The other guys are don't know what they're talking about. So it's a lot of almost like measuring dicks at the end of the day, if I can say that on the podcast.
Oh, you
Because
can. Yeah, it's a dick measuring contest for sure.
yeah, it's like people
Who has
and
the most superior diet?
yeah, it's weird, because at the end of the day, I understand that you wanna look at the data objectively and say, no, this is, you know, what we're seeing. But at the end of the day, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Again, there are definitely some recommendations that you don't want to tell people to, hey, go ham, just eat as much saturated fat as you want. That's, I would not recommend that. But at the end of the day, that doesn't mean that if I see, okay, no, that's probably not a good example. But I do have a great friend of mine, for instance, also works in the fitness industry. And promotes a higher fat diet and doesn't necessarily have the same views as I have on saturated fat. Now, even though I might disagree with their opinion, that doesn't mean I'm gonna go and tell their clients, you know, your coach is doesn't know what he's talking about, or it's all bullshit. So I kind of got lost. I lost my train of thought there. But what I mean is, this shouldn't be about finding the superior diet. Of course, there are some recommendations in the carnivore diet. In, if you ask me, it's dumb. It's not cool. But at the same time, this goes back to the whole idea of nutrition. You know, it's a science, but people get emotionally attached to the way they do things. It's like, I am a carnivore. All other diets are bullshit. Y'all don't know what you're talking about. Plants are bad for you. I mean, Don Saladino or Paul Saladino, not Don, talking about how plants are bad for you. And if you eat them, you'll get more inflammation. And that's another term that people like to throw around, like, inflammation is bad for you. If you eat this, you get inflammation. And then you ask people, okay, but what exactly are you worried about? And they might say, I don't know. So, you know, at the end of the day, we do things without knowing them. We fear some things without even knowing what we're fearing. And there's a lot of fear mongering on social media nowadays. I'm sure you've seen those reels about don't eat oats for breakfast because they're bad, or don't eat eggs for breakfast because they're bad. And then you're like, okay, then
I've had both every day this past week.
Me, man, I love oats. I love
Me
eggs.
too. I think
And
I
chicken.
have both. It's not even a thing. Right now, like I go through phases where I no, not phases. I always like eat similar things, and then maybe every like maybe once every few weeks it might slightly change over time. But right now, like oats and eggs are both staples in what I'm eating. I really like oats and the way it can just go with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
Go on.
no, go for it, go for it.
I was just gonna. I'm gonna change the subject. Was there anything else you wanted to say about that?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, to wrap it up, imagine in your case you love oats and eggs, and imagine you see someone say on social media, you know, eggs and oats are the worst for you. And suddenly you're trying to change your diet for reasons you don't even know. And you're feeling more miserable because you're eating foods you don't enjoy, and you're telling yourself it's going to be worth it because those other foods are quote unquote bad. This is, you know, not good advice, because at the end of the day, it's definitely harming your relationship with food, the way you see food, the way you look at food. And at the end of the day, it's that applying morality to foods, which is also not a thing. Like, why are oats bad? In what context are they bad? Why are eggs bad? And this has also been a hot topic of people saying you should only eat X amount of eggs per day, or cholesterol, you know, eggs are bad for cholesterol. And then there's evidence suggesting you can eat as many eggs as you'd like as long as you're living a healthy lifestyle. So there's definitely, I know people don't like it when they ask a question and you answer with it depends. But a lot of times it does depend on, you know, your goals, your individual context, and your preferences. There's no like cookie cutter approach, like everyone's on carnivore right now because that's what's, you know, what's trending. But you know, I'm not gonna beat up a dead horse, so I'll let you change the topic.
Well, no, I was just gonna say so, and so I think keto probably was like the more prevalent one, and maybe like around 2013, 14, 15. Then I feel like it was vegan that really started to come up more in like 17, 18, 19, 20, and then I feel like ever since it's kind of been carnivore. If you had to take a wild guess, what diet do you think is gonna like be trendy next?
Think it's gonna be carnivegan.
That sounds like actually a good one.
It's a mix of meat and vegetables. It's still you know, I'm coining the term right now, but it's looking promising, and I think people will enjoy it.
I can, yeah, probably. You know what? I can, on a real note, like I can see a low fat becoming really popular again, probably after
Again, yeah.
carnivore, because I feel like these things kind of go in cycles as well. So
Could
I
be.
can see like a low fat one coming back, which I know there used to be one, but it's been a long time. So I can see
Yes.
that probably coming back maybe after carnivore. I predict that. Yeah, in 2024, when it's back in fashion, low fat, and everyone's pushing low fat on social media, I'll grab. Oh, 2024. I thought it was 2021 for a second. When in 2027. When everyone's
Yeah.
pushing low-fat diets on social media, I'll come back to this podcast episode, clip it, have the date at the bottom, and like just show everyone that I am psychic.
Could be. What about No, you're probably right, but at the same time, I think a lot of people are still afraid of carbs, even though they might not know what a carb is.
Yeah, it's true.
So
But
I'm
if
not.
enough people on social media with stethoscopes around their neck and doctor's jackets tell them that low fat is what's bad and carbs are great, then they might believe it.
Yeah, but then they think carbs are pizza and they're just gonna eat pizza. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's true. But yeah, was there anything else? You know, it's nearly been an hour. I can't believe it. But was there anything else in mind that you wanted to speak about?
About this specific topic, or
Anything.
man, there
I
was
had a
something.
point as well about the specific topic, but it's completely slipped my mind, and I'm not even going to try and remember because I know I can't. I
I
had
had
a
some.
go on.
No, I was gonna say the same thing. I had something on my mind, but it slipped my mind too.
Yeah, no.
But
Oh, go on.
I'm trying to remember. It was basically about sustainability, and there's this quote I got from Jordan Syed, which I know, he's someone we both look up to. I think he's always saying unsustainable methods produce unsustainable results, right? And fitness, nutrition, and nutrition, that's the way I see things, and that's like the message I also try to push is that sure. And I shit you not, yesterday one of my clients asked me, what if I just eat chicken and broccoli for a week? And I was like, okay, what's the angle here? Like, why do you want to do this? Is it like a challenge? Do you want to, fast weight loss, maybe to fit for a dress for an event, something like that? And they couldn't necessarily tell me the why. It was just, again, they're in a calorie deficit because they want to lose fat. And I think this was just a way of how can I do this as fast as possible? And that's not how you should look at things, right? Because at the end of the day, again, in a sustainable method, sure, you might lose more weight in the short term, but can you actually just eat chicken and broccoli for the rest of your life? Probably not. And I wouldn't recommend it either. And that's one of the things I think is kind of maybe missing, or at least we could use a bit more of in the fitness industry, is teaching people that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. There's a big spectrum of both for training and nutrition where you can fit in depending on your goals. And it doesn't mean that you will always have the same goals throughout your life. There might be periods where you can invest more time and energy into fitness, and there might be times when you have to take a step back, dial it down, and just focus on maintaining, mostly eating nutritious foods. And it's just, I don't even want to get into the topic of TikTok, but there are these trends coming up that it's just weird. And again, trust me, I'm still a bro at heart. I still love a lot of the things I used to love, still have a lot of respect for them, but it's definitely, especially TikTok, that's the Wild West of fitness when it comes to advice. And if you don't know what's good advice or bullshit, then it's tough to navigate these waters pretty much.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And TikTok is something I try and like quickly get in and then out of again, because obviously I have my page, so I'm just there when I have to upload something, and then I want to leave because that place can be like a like it's just so easy to get sucked in and just spend a lot of time on there if you're not careful. And I see a lot of people spend a lot of time on TikTok, but that actually brings up a quick just passing thought. And I had a conversation about this last year with a friend of mine. I thought I'd bring it up again just to see your opinion with that, with because obviously, maybe not necessarily last year, but maybe when we were teenagers, information wasn't obviously like it was obviously still there was still a lot of information because we obviously there was still the internet, like we're not that old, but information either nowadays with TikTok on the rise, with video content on the rise, with social media at its most popular ever. It's like the most abundant it's ever been, and that's for both good and bad information. So for someone starting out their fitness journey for the first time and they're trying to figure out what they should and shouldn't do you think it's easier or harder than it
Oof.
was maybe 10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends who you're following, right?
But you don't even know if your follow who you're following is good or bad. That's the thing, because yeah,
Exactly, yeah.
that's the tough
But
part.
yeah, like I can give you an example. Like 10 years ago when I started, I had a lot of my advice come from gym bros, and a lot of that advice I know now
Same.
that isn't necessarily right, but at the time it was like gospel for me, and I was very consistent. I did exactly what they said. Like, if they said you need to do all these drop sets and you can only rest 60 seconds between exercises, eat clean foods, etc., like I did that, and I had fantastic results because I was consistent and I believed in the process. Like, I put in the work. If I had this overload of information of these guys telling me one thing, and then I'd go home and watch some dude on social media say, "Don't do this, do that," I think I would have felt very maybe insecure or like unsure of what I should do. And that would kind of divide my attention of, am I, doing what I should be doing or not? Because again,
Yeah.
I didn't know much, so I focused on one thing, even if it wasn't necessarily good or great advice. It
Yeah.
got me good results because I was consistent. Like nowadays, I think if you have like having a sort of mentor, that would be fantastic, like someone you can trust, even if they're not the best source of knowledge. If they can set you on the right path of teaching you consistency and just doing something, I think that's good. But if, let's say, you use TikTok as your main source of information, and every day you're following or seeing different clips of people talking about different things, and every week you're trying a different workout or a different diet, that's going to be tough because at the end of the day, you don't really know what's working. You're just kind of trying all these different things without really knowing what's moving the needle forward or helping you progress. It's like, yeah, I guess it really depends. It's tough. What do you think?
I think you touched on a good point. It's definitely easier to like what's coming to mind for me right now. Obviously, I've not had a chance to really think about this in much depth, but right now I would say it probably is a lot easier to like second guess pretty much everything you're doing nowadays.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tough one to answer. Yeah, it's a tough one to answer. Because obviously there is like now there's so much good information as well. Yeah, so there is that. You know, bringing up the point of where you would obviously you would get like a lot of bro advice at your gym just from you, a lot of what you knew were just from other people at your gym. Same with me. Like one of the things that came to mind for me instantly that I used to really like I was really good with following this was the anabolic window, you know, that 1 hour window after you finish your workout, you've got to eat. Like I was really like on that one. I always made sure I ate within an hour of finishing my workout because my workout was not going to waste. That's what I thought. Just to make it clear to the listener, that's actually it's not true. It's bullshit. But I didn't know that at the time.
I mean, I did the same thing. Like, I'm not sure about you, but at the time, as a teenager, you don't have a lot of disposable income. So I was kind of just a regular broke ass teenager, and I still wanted to get my protein in. So what I did was I bought a lot of natural yogurt, and I would make these like homemade shakes, like banana yogurt and oats, and they were really, really oh, and milk, and they were really thick, like proper thick. And I would prepare them before going to the gym, and then I'd have to walk to the gym or take a bus, walk, and it would take me maybe from the moment I prepare the shake to actually drinking it, maybe 4 hours. So the shake wasn't necessarily,
Wow.
and the shake wasn't necessarily fresh, but I believed that I had to get my protein right after the workout, right? So I would chug almost a liter of this thick ass shake. And I would try to just get it in as fast as possible because of gains. And I remember just feeling bloated and feeling like, not great. But then I was like, yeah, but this is what you have to do to, make gains. So I was happy, but also sometimes feeling really miserable, just not miserable, like, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? But man, I feel like I eat way too much, or I'm bloated. And looking back, it's funny because I didn't need to do that. Or, I'm not proud of this, but one time I actually, you remember Rocky or Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about how eating raw eggs can be good for gains? Like, I've done that. Like, I've
I never
eaten
thought
raw
that
eggs.
was one thing that's where I drew the line.
Yeah.
I
I did it one
heard
time.
that as well, but I was like, no, fuck that.
Yeah, man, I did that once, but like, I don't want to get too graphical, but let's just say that the yolk kind of got stuck on my throat.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, I had to push it down with water. And I was like, I will never, ever, ever do this again. And again, there might be someone listening and they'll be like, oh, I've had raw eggs. It's cool. I still do that. More power to you. But for me, definitely not something I would do again. Especially you do, the protein is easier to absorb if the egg is cooked.
I just prefer cooked egg as well. Like, yeah, like forget the protein. Like, I just like the taste of cooked egg.
Yeah, but yeah, man, I've done some things that, looking back, they were literally unnecessary. But again, when you're in the zone and you commit, even if it's shitty advice, if you do it consistently, if you keep showing up to your workouts, you'll get good results. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that what you're doing is right, or what you're doing is what everyone else should be doing. It's like the whole everyone should squat, bench, and deadlift with a barbell. Like, even if you have issues or pain, like, everyone should do these three compound lifts. Like, I used to think that way too. Like,
Yeah,
it's a
same.
black and white answer for everyone, but the thing is, it's not. And that's the cool thing. And also, I think part of maturing as an athlete or just a coach is understanding that there are different tools in your toolbox, and you need to know which tools to use for different situations. Because if you're always using the same tool for every situation, then I mean, you're a one-trick pony, and it's kind of hard when a new situation comes up, you don't know what to do if your usual tool doesn't work.
Yeah, I think we covered a lot today, but yeah, that was no, that was right. That was we went on a lot of tangents, and it's like I said at the beginning of this podcast before we started speaking, I didn't even have any topics in mind. Well, I did, but we didn't even end up speaking about it, and it's been a long time. That'll be for another day. We'll definitely record another podcast together. Was there anything else you wanted to touch upon before I wind us down?
I just say you
I
can
still
call
got
it.
time, by the way.
Yeah. I was just gonna say you can call this episode, Ramblings of Two Coaches, or maybe something a bit more edgy, like, what's wrong with the fitness industry?
It's got to be something to make people that it's going to make people want to click on. So I've got to think of something like super polarizing. What's the most controversial subject that we've mentioned on this? I don't know. I'll have a good think. So it's a by the time people are listening, they will know what the title is, and it's probably like a rubbish one.
Yeah, why carnivore diet is looking quite promising, like the best diet. I don't know.
So was there so but was there anything else you wanted to bring up before I wind it down?
No, man, the floor is yours.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, it was a really good chat, honestly. That was overdue. It's been a little while since we last spoke, and I think the last time I saw you in person was maybe December. I might be making that up. Just January, December.
It was either December or January.
Yeah, I don't remember. We'll have to meet up again soon, and it was December. Yeah, it was December. I remember now. Yeah, we'll have to meet up again soon. Hang out. Come up with some cool ideas again. We'll definitely record another podcast episode soon because this one was very fun. But yeah, where can people find you?
Right now, you can find me on Instagram at Miguel D. Mendez. And Mendez is with an S, not a Z, because sometimes I do get that.
Oh, same with Alves, but we're not
Yeah,
Spanish, we're Portuguese, so it's a
exactly. And that's pretty much it. Right now, my TikTok and YouTube is out of commission, so I'm not gonna
out of commission.
I'm just not investing time right now.
Okay.
So it's not, I mean, if you guys go to my Instagram, you can check out my TikTok and YouTube, but it's been a while since I've posted there. That's why I'm like, eh. Instagram is where I'm most active nowadays. It's where I post almost daily, and hopefully it's where you will see some clips of this podcast as well.
Yeah, if we can be bothered to quiet up. Yeah, man, definitely follow Miguel. Definitely worth the follow on Instagram. I'll leave his Instagram as a link on the show notes of this podcast episode as well. Really good advice on there. I would 10 out of 10 recommend following. And if you're listening on Miguel's side and you want to drop a follow as well, you can follow me at Leo Alves PT. So Alves is spelled with an S, Alves PT, Leo Alves PT. I'll leave the link for that in the show notes as well. And that's the same handle for my Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, which I spend maybe a decent amount of times on as well. Otherwise, yeah, that's pretty much it from me today. And otherwise, again, thank you very much for coming on, Miguel. Very fun chat. And I'll see you around.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.